Roll them.
Yeah, I'll be real loud. There's somebody else here.
The April 11th, 2017 House Committee on Veterans Affairs and Emergency Preparedness is now in session. We're going to be moving some things around today to accommodate schedules. Also, want to make sure that those that are tuning in, House Bill 2890-1 amendments were posted at 1540. So if there are any Marines around, that's 340 or when Mickey's
hand. Yeah, I say 1440, it's not 15.
It's been listed.
We're not doing the big hand and the little hand bit, are we, for the Marines?
Just saying, in case the director's around somewhere. It has been posted. My goal is to try to have a public hearing on 2890-1 later in the day. We're going to start with HCR 28, 29, and HCR 30. We're going to take care of that business early, and then we'll go back to 2887 and then 2890, which hopefully by that time will be fair game to talk about. So I'd like to open a public hearing on HCR 28, invite Representative Wisnett up. Mr. Volk, if you'd like to read.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. House Concurrent Resolution 28 recognizes and honors First Lieutenant Justin Wilkins, 1986 to 2012, for service to his country. United States Air Force First Lieutenant Justin Wilkins was born on February 7, 1986, in Bend, Oregon, where he was raised and homeschooled, graduating in 2005. He obtained his glider license at age 14, his pilot license at age 16, and graduated from the Air Force Academy in 2009. He was a combat systems officer assigned to the 34th Special Ops Squadron, 1st Special Ops Group, at Herbert Field, Florida. On his third deployment, he was one of four crew members serving in support of Operation Enduring Freedom on a Special Forces U-28A aircraft tasked to aid in the detection and disruption of violent extremist organizations in the Horn of Africa. He and his fellow crew members died returning from a mission on February 18, 2012, when the aircraft was involved in an accident near Camp Leomore, a United States Naval Expeditionary Base situated in Djibouti, home to the Combined Task Force of Africa, the U.S. Africa Command. At the time of his death, First Lieutenant Wilkins had flown over 400 combat hours. He was talented, brave, reliable, intelligent, extremely outgoing, and friendly. He loved his country and loved flying. He wanted to defend those who could not defend themselves, and is remembered as an extraordinary man who lived life to the fullest. House Concurrent Resolution 28 recognizes and honors First Lieutenant Justin Wilkins and his family for their sacrifice to the United States. We've received the fiscals and revenues. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Thank you, Mr. Volk. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, committee, Honorable Committee members. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, State Representative, House District 53. Mr. Chair and committee members, honorable committee members, these are sort of things you hate to do, but I think it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to sponsor this House Concurrent Resolution 28. Mr. Volk read most of the concurrent resolution. I've been asked by the parents to read a letter to you to show how they much appreciate you hearing this and hopefully supporting the resolution. To the Veterans House Committee members, we, the parents of First Lieutenant Justin James Wilkins, are unable to be present today. It's actually his parents are Dr. Jim and Sharon Wilkins. Thank you. We're unable to be present today for the hearing, and therefore request that our statement be read for the record for today's hearing. We're very pleased the Oregon Legislature has adopted the following Heroes Memorial Highway Sign Program to honor fallen service members. We think that the sign program is a way to help families of fallen service members feel the sacrifice of their loved ones. It's valued and a reminder to all who see the signs of the cost of our freedoms. Justin was born and raised in Bend, Oregon, living in Bend until leaving to attend the Air Force Academy in 2005. If approved by ODOT, the spot we have chosen for his sign is a bit over 1 mile from where he was born, less than a mile from where he is buried, and approximately 1 mile from where we had an office for 35 years. HCR 28 contains the information that we feel justified for passage of this resolution. We're very appreciative and encourage the Oregon legislature's continued support of the Fallen Heroes Memorial Highway Sign Program throughout Oregon. We'd like to thank the committee for their consideration and support of House Concurrent Resolution 28. It was nice of them to ask me to do that. With that, it sounds like I did not know him. It sounds like a great young man who did serve honorably and terrible loss to his family and to our society. Mr. Chair, I'd ask you to please pass this resolution.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing on HCR 28 and open a work session on HCR 28.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair.
Sir, right.
You got to read. I'm sorry. Please.
We're going to the work session first, then we'll get to 29.
Now, please, Mr.
Well. Yes, Mr. Chair, I move HCR 28 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves HCR 28 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion. Sky, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
He's excused.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. We will ask Representative Wisnett if that would be okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we will close the work session on HCR 28. Now we will open a public hearing on HCR 29. Mr. Volk.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. House Concurrent Resolution 29 recognizes and honors Lance Corporal Randy Lee Newman, 1985 to 2006, for his service to his country. Lance Corporal Randy Lee Newman was born on May 25, 1985, in Bend, Oregon. He was raised in LaPine and Bend and graduated in 2003 from Bend's Mountain View High School, where he participated in the Junior Reserve Officer Training Course program and dreamed of joining the Marines. He was an athlete, and he enjoyed music, muscle cars and trucks, and the outdoors. He aspired to become a personal trainer after the military. In 2004, he enlisted and was assigned to the 3rd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, 1st Marine Division, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, based in 29 Palms, California. He deployed to Iraq in March 2006. He was killed along with one other Marine, a Navy hospital corpsman, on August 20, 2006, while conducting combat operations in Al-Anbar province during Operation Iraqi Freedom. He is remembered as having no quit in him due to his energy, drive, and sheer determination. House Concurrent Resolution 29 recognizes and honors Lance Corporal Randy Lee Newman and his family for their sacrifice during the war in Iraq. We received the fiscals and revenues. There is no fiscal impact and no revenue impact to this resolution.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, and Honorable Committee members. Got a little ahead of myself. Thank you again for reading that the resolution, House Concurrent Resolution 29. For the record, I'm Gene Wisnett, House State Representative, House District 53. This one's a little more personal to me because 10 years ago I did attend the memorial service for Randy and his family and hugged his mother and cried with his mother and his family. Again, I have a letter from the Newman family that's not able to attend here that I'd read for the record, please, Mr. Chair. Chairman Evans and distinguished committee members, we, the parents of the late Randy Lee Newman, Lance Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps, are unable to attend today's hearings on the House Concurrent Resolution 29, honoring our son who made the supreme sacrifice in Iraq over 10 years ago. We requested one of the members of the Central Oregon delegation or their staff to read the statement and enter into the public record. We're indebted to Representative Bueller, Representative Wisnett, and Senator Knope for sponsoring HCR 29 and the many other highway bills honoring veterans. We're very pleased that Oregon has created the Fallen Heroes Memorial Highway Sign Program, honoring the following veterans of the armed services. House Concurrent Resolution 29 includes all the information justifying these special honors with a prominent sign along highways, heavily traveled by the public, and reminding all that preserving our hard-won freedoms come at a very high cost to families, friends, and our society. We're also pleased that other parents of fallen heroes east of the Cascades have also sought this tribute for their sons and daughter. We had one daughter, one female officer that died in eastern Oregon. While we and our extended family think of Randy every day, a sign near our home on U.S. Highway 20 will remind us that Oregon will always remember and honor its fallen heroes. We thank this committee for the opportunity to add our support to House Concurrent Resolution 29, respectfully, Jerry and Romana Newman. So, committee members, like I said, I think 10 years ago, I'm proud that our Governor Kulongoski was there and spoke at the ceremony, and I think the chair was there probably, or must have, he was over there. So, again, sad we have to do this, but glad we can do it and not forget these fallen heroes. I urge you to pass House Concurrent Resolution 29.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Just one comment, Mr. Chair. Thank you. That Governor Kulongoski was the best governor I'd ever seen when it come to military funerals. I don't believe he missed any, did he?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I know of.
One prince.
Thank you. Any other?
21 years old. Sure.
Okay. Seeing. Thank you, Representative. We're going to do a work session real quick.
Good, thank you.
We're going to close the public hearing on HCR 29. We're going to open a work session on HCR 29.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 29 to the floor with the be-adopt recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves HCR 29 to the floor with a be-adopted recommendation. Is there discussion? Seeing none, Sky, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
He's excused.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Yes. Motion passes. And again, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Honorable Committee members.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it. As we get the dates for that.
I'll work with you and your staff.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to open up HCR 30. HCR 30, Mr. Volk, why don't you set the table, and then we'll ask Representative Gomberg to fill it.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. House Concurrent Resolution 30 recognizes and honors two brothers, Hospitalman Charles Eugene Johnson, 1944 to 1968, and Staff Sergeant Clifford Thomas Johnson, 1949 to 1970, for service to their country. Hospitalman Charles Johnson was born on October 21, 1944, and his brother Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson was born January 26, 1949. The family resided in Oregon. Hospitalman Charles Johnson enlisted in the U.S. Navy in December of 1961 and re-enlisted in March of 1963. And was honorably discharged in February of 66. He again re-enlisted in the Navy in June of 1967 and was sent to Vietnam. He was a U.S. Navy hospital corpsman assigned to Headquarters and Service Company, 2nd Battalion, 7th Marine Regiment, 1st Marine Division, 3rd Marine Amphibious Force. He succumbed to hostile enemy fire in Quang Nam Province, South Vietnam, on February 8, 1968, at the age of 23. His younger brother, Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson, began his tour in Vietnam 2 years later in 1970. Staff Sergeant Johnson was a U.S. Army soldier assigned to 3rd Platoon C Company, 1st Battalion, 52nd Infantry Regiment, the AmeriCorps Division, U.S. Army Vietnam. He was mortally wounded by hostile enemy fire in Quang Nai Province, South Vietnam, and 5 months later, on December 7, 1970, he succumbed to his wounds on December 26, 1970, at age 21. Both brothers were awarded the National Defense Service Medal, the Republic of Vietnam Campaign Medal, the Vietnam Service Medal, and the Purple Heart. The Johnson family is one of only 39 families nationwide and four families in the state of Oregon to lose two sons in the Vietnam War. House Concurrent Resolution 30 recognizes and honors Hospitalman Charles Johnson and his brother Staff Sergeant Clifford Johnson and their family for their sacrifice during the Vietnam War. We've received the fiscals and revenues. There is no expenditure impact, no revenue impact.
Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For your records, David Gomberg from House District 10 on the Central Oregon Coast. And committee, these resolutions are always difficult. This one, I think, is particularly poignant for reasons that I'll share with you in just a moment. But as you've heard, there are four Oregon families that have lost two sons or daughters in the Vietnam conflict. We have previously recognized three of those families. This will be the fourth one. I think it's significant. Well, it's always significant when a family suffers that kind of loss, but it's significant also because in this particular case, the two sons served in different branches of the military. One was a Navy hospitalman. The other was an Army staff sergeant. Two branches served, two branches suffering losses. But there's something else about this measure, and it is, I listened carefully as Representative Wisden a few moments ago shared letters from the families of fallen soldiers. You won't receive letters in this particular case because there is no family. The brother's parents passed away of natural causes, as did their sister and their other third brother. So we have suffered a loss of two brave men that went to Vietnam, but we've also suffered the loss of an entire Oregon family. It's gone now. It's gone now. So I hope that you'll consider this measure and give us an opportunity to properly honor this family. I promise you that when the time comes on the side gallery of the House, there will be a very large family of fellow soldiers that will come over from the coast to honor these two brave members of the Navy and the Army that served from Toledo, Oregon, in my district. I know there's others here to testify about this, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted to introduce the bill for you, and I look forward to the opportunity to carry it for all of you.
Thank you. Questions, comments to the representative? I know that Representative Escobar has been involved in helping the other families get notice, and thank you for that. Representative, there's no questions or comments. You're welcome to stay as we invite the next person
up.
Thank
you, Mr. Chairman. I'm doing another committee as we speak.
Thank you for coming. I call before us Mr. Steve Bates. Oh, sorry, there's a question.
It's not a question. It's a comment, and I was hoping to make that comment when Representative Wisnett was here as well. But I just appreciate the members who bring these bills forward and carry them, because as you dig into people's stories and you hear that hardship, you know, it takes a toll to carry those year after year on the floor and to do our job to remember. And so for you and Representative Wisnett and others who have brought these forward this year, Representative Olson, it's an important piece of what we do. And I just thank you for drilling down into it and finding these folks and giving them their honor and their due by their state. So
thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you. Mr. Bates, please step forward.
Thank you, Representative.
Excuse me.
Chair Evans, Vice Chair Boone, Vice Chair Esquivel, and committee members, I'm Steve Bates. It's my honor to be the chair of the Committee on Memorials and Remembrance. I wish to take this opportunity to thank Representative Gomberg and his staff for working to bring this resolution to fruition, and thank you for hearing it. For the record, the Committee on Memorials and Remembrance identified four families in Oregon that lost two sons in the Vietnam War. It is terrible to lose one child, let alone two. That makes it an exceptional loss, as 39 families in the United States share this experience. Our committee made a commitment to honor the four Oregon families that sacrificed so much in Vietnam: the Wright family of Boring, the Rowden family of Jackson County, the Evans family of Klamath County, and today we wish to honor the Johnson family. Lewis Johnson married Helen Gordon. They had four children: Charles, Calista, Clifford, and Gordon. Research on this family has been very difficult. We have identified that Charles attended Toledo High School. Charles enlisted in the Navy in December of 1961 at the age of 17. And we're guessing that he enlisted before he actually graduated. But he served honorably. He was discharged in 66, came back to Toledo, and within 6 months reenlisted. I'm guessing he had a rough time finding a job. I don't know. We haven't been able to figure out why he was discharged and then just reenlisted out of the blue. And 3 months later, he was in Vietnam. He was assigned to the Marines. And, of course, anybody in the Marine Corps tells me that having a good medic behind you is always a good thing. And that's what Charles was. And he gave his life helping other people as a medic. His brother, his little brother, well, excuse me, at the time of Charles's death, we have been able to identify that the family had moved to Portland. We have not been able to locate any information on the father. His name was Lewis A. Johnson. The son, Clifford Thomas Johnson, was drafted into the Army. He was an infantryman, but apparently he had special talents because he achieved the rank of sergeant in a short period of time. And the sad thing about Clifford's story is that he was engaged in a hostile engagement and sustained wounds on December 7th, 1970, only to die from those wounds 3 weeks later at the age of 21. Both of the Johnson brothers were single at the time of their death. They had no dependents. Their sister Callista married Stephen Elia, and they had a daughter. Stephen, Callista, and their daughter Shannon are all deceased. Their brother Gordon is also deceased. Their mother Helen died in 2005 and is buried in a cemetery in Yamhill County. This branch of the Johnson family tree is dead. There are no surviving relatives that we can find. As there are no surviving family members to remember and honor the Johnson brothers, it is imperative that we honor and remember the sacrifice of this family. We ask that this resolution be passed to the House floor with a do-adopt recommendation so that we can honor the Johnson family. This resolution, when passed, will enable the process for signage and the dedication of a state highway in Lincoln County as a fallen hero memorial highway in memory of Navy Hospitalman Charles Eugene Johnson and Army Sergeant Clifford Thomas Johnson, two heroes that were brothers, brothers that died in Vietnam. They sacrificed their American dream so that we could live ours. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Yes.
No, I just want to thank Mr. Bates. You've done a yeoman's job on this, and I really appreciate what you've done. You've been exemplary with your research. The sad part about this whole thing is that are 45 years too late. Should have been done 45 years ago. But
yes, sir.
At least we'll try to do it now.
Thank yes, you. Sir. Thank you.
Comments, questions?
Thanks.
Sir, again, thank you very much. And when this process goes through, even though their families aren't able to be here, if it's possible, if you could keep us informed on the dedication process so that perhaps some of the legislators can fill in for the family when the sign is put up.
Yes, sir.
I'd appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We're going to close the public hearing on HCR 30. We're going to open a work session on HCR 30.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 30 to the floor with the be adopt recommendation.
Representative Escobar moves HCR 30 to the floor with the be adopted recommendation. Is there a discussion? I see no discussion. Sky, please call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Excused.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes. And we are going to ask Representative Gomberg to carry the bill if that's acceptable. All right, we're going to close the work session on HCR 30. We're going to now open a public hearing on House Bill 2887. Mr. Volk, if you could give us a background on 2887.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
As a quick summary, we heard this bill on March 16th, and since then it has had an amendment that's been posted for review. And the original bill creates a personal and corporate income tax for employers who hire qualified military veterans. Permits employers with 100 or less employees a tax credit of $1,000 per qualifying veteran per tax year, increasing $100 per year not to exceed $1,500. Permits all other employers $750 per qualifying veteran per tax year, increasing $100 per year not to exceed $1,250. Authorizes rulemaking by the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. Applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2017. The -1 amendment establishes a little bit of change in the original bill that an employer will be allowed the income tax credit provided the employer pays the qualified military veteran at least $1 more than the prevailing minimum wage. Directs that the employer claiming the credit retain the United States Department of Defense discharge form of the qualified military veteran. Allows an employer to claim the credit for up to 3 tax years. And so we have tax credits available depending on the employer size, and there was an amendment. We have received the we've received the fiscals and revenues on both the underlying bill and the -1 amendments. For the -1 amendment, they called it a revenue light. For the revenues, no revenue impact.
Okay, a couple of things. Would the director or anybody from ODVA like to comment? You don't have to. Seeing none, okay, we'll move forward. I just want to personally thank pretty much this side of the committee because Representative Esquivel, Representative Parrish, Representative Meek got together in a work group and made this bill, I think, much better. I do want to emphasize that when we have been talking about the basically the veterans package of funding, at the closer we get to 27 million, 28 million, there's a 500,000 set aside to support this particular type of tax credit should the committee want to go that direction. So again, one of the things that we do, trying to make sure that we can showcase how the money that the voters have given us to help reach out and get veterans employed, healthcare, et cetera, and at the same time make sure that the folks in Ways and Means and in revenue, and I believe this goes to revenue after this,
is
that how we would pay for these items. So my point in this is we're not sending a bill forward that doesn't have any way to be paid for. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Okay? Yes.
So I will, as we have these bills, continue to reiterate what ballot measure 96 says, and specifically there is language that says we will fund projects that serve and employment is one of those things.
Yep.
So this is right in line with that. And so I'm excited to see this move forward.
Okay.
Just for clarity, Mr. Chair, so will you need this half of the committee to participate in
this? Yes.
I appreciate the good work they did, but I just want to make sure we were needed as part of this.
We're one family, sir. We need all, everybody together.
That should be relevant on the vote side.
We also have one speaker listed. Mr. Connect, did you want to comment on this? I think it's leaning the way you want, so please come forward, state your name.
Paul Evans, I'm the chair. I don't know what all the bills are, but I see them out there. But just because I'm a veteran and I support all the bills that you have out there.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, we're going to close the public hearing. Going to open a work session on House Bill 2887. Which I assume we have to have a motion on an amendment first.
We have to adopt the amendment. Yes.
I can't get one past me today. I am awake.
Good job.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the House Bill 2887-1 amendments dated March 28, 2017.
Representative Esquivel moves to adopt the House Bill 2887-1 amendments dated March 28, 2017. Is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing no discussion, Sky, please call the roll so we can make sure everybody's clear on this one.
Representative Lewis.
He's excused.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Motion passes. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2887 as amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the House Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2887 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation that be referred to the House Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Any question? Seeing no question, Sky, please go ahead.
Representative Lewis.
He's excused.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair.
Aye. Motion passes. House Bill 2887. If we get to choose a sponsor, I would actually like to have co-carrier Representative Esquivel, Meek, and Parrish, all three.
Tri-carriers.
Yep.
A tri-carrier.
Ooh.
I haven't seen that fancy move before, but we can do that.
All right. We're going to be at ease for the next 5 minutes because we got to make sure.
Do you want to suspend the rules and just keep going?
Would you like to suspend the rules? We could do that instead.
Because you have a timing issue?
Yeah. We got 5 minutes. We're going to have a bathroom break or you want to suspend the rules?
To 3:40. Suspend the rules for what?
We posted a bill. And to have a public hearing, we have to wait an hour.
We have to wait to 3:40.
So we can suspend the rules.
Okay, is there a motion? Do I have a work session to do that?
Well, I don't see the amendment yet. Is it up yet?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like 10 minutes ago. No, it's there.
It's there. Do you have a written? Do you have a hard copy in front of you? You should.
Yeah, we posted it.
Okay, I see it now.
No,
I see it.
Now.
I just was posted.
Is that this one?
This issue is this.
Yeah. Oh no, this is 2890.
So that's it. 2890.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was 2847.
No. It's just 28.
2890. Okay, this is the.
So is there a motion to suspend the rules, and go ahead and have a public hearing?
You have to have 6 o'clock.
Right, but. Would somebody like to put forward that request?
Well, I'll move that we suspend the rules to move, what is the House bill? What's the number?
2890.
To the committee for consideration.
Mm-hmm. Representative Esquivel has moved that we suspend the rules so we can have a public hearing on House Bill 2890. It has been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? I'm going to go that that's 7 out of 8.
We did it with the team, so.
We did it as a team, that's right.
People in the audience who are.
We're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 2890. House Bill 2890. Would the military department like to come forward just in case there are any questions? Mr. Volk, please read the bill.
I have not had a chance to thoroughly digest it. I can read the gist of it, Representative Evans. House Bill 2890-1, this is what we call pretty much a complete gut and stuff. The amendment is the bill. Section 1 says there's allocated for the biennium of July 1st, $500,000. Paragraph 2 says the amount of $475,000 is established for the biennium beginning July 1st as the maximum limit for payments of expenses by the Oregon Military Department from lottery monies allocated from the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund for the purposes of providing tuition waivers to members of Oregon. The paragraph just below that says the amount of $25,000 is established for the biennium as the maximum limit for payment of expenses by the Oregon Military Department from lottery funds from the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund for the purpose of paying administrative costs. That's pretty much the gist of it.
So for the committee, this is a situation where the department is neutral. It represents discussions that have been ongoing for a number of years. It is not in the governor's budget. Representative Stuckey here is against his will. You can see it on his face. He's neutral. But in that vein, that you are neutral, could you explain what the function would be should this pass in a favorable way?
Absolutely. Chair Evans, members of the committee, I'm Dave Secchi. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Military Department. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to this. I have the dash one in front of me. I've seen it for a little over an hour now, a little less than an hour. And so from the standpoint of what this bill could do, and you're right, Chair Evans, we are neutral on this bill. We understand that this bill is purpose is to provide funding for an educational opportunity for National Guardsmen within the Oregon Military Department. From our standpoint, the Oregon Military Department, the basis for the Oregon National Guard and how it exists is all about people. It's women and men that get in uniform, that want to serve and serve in a capacity that is not just in the military standpoint, but also in the standpoint of being able to succeed and grow professionally, be a citizen soldier or airman, and be able to provide some value back to the state. And that integration, that education component is part of it. Education has always been a key component of recruiting and retention. The Air Guard, unfortunately for the Army, does not have any problems recruiting. They have always been extremely proficient at that. And those dang jets are very, very sexy. The Army Guard side, not so much. And it's usually in the 94% standpoint. The structure of a unit and whether or not a state can recruit to it is the basis for almost every decision that National Guard Bureau makes in terms of force structure, units, equipment, et cetera. It is a key component. And so from our standpoint, if this bill were to pass and these monies get directed to the Oregon Military Department, this would be used as a recruiting component. We expect that, as the bill would states, we would use federal dollars first. There are several federal functions that exist. We have federal tuition assistance only a year after you come back from basic and AIT. We have Montgomery GI Bill, $360 or so a month. We have the post 9/11 GI Bill, which is really good, but it's dwindling. As much as we'd like to think that the war is still upon us, from the standpoint of that is the effects are still there, those soldiers and airmen are already leaving the service. And those GI Bill effects and what they mean to at least to the present day Oregon Military Department is behind us in a large degree, and so that's a dwindling population. And so from our standpoint, we could see this, Chair Evans, to answer your question directly, this would be a potential for recruiting and retention, but it would be something more. The more is that it helps with developing the skills necessary for an airman or an Army Guard person in order to help provide that value to both the state as well as the nation.
So just an emphasis so that people are clear on what we are trying to do and what we're not trying to do. This is last dollar in, right? Federal has been exhausted. Then we would be looking toward these funds, which is an important component. We're not trying to compete with the GI Bill. We're not trying to do the work that the feds should be doing, but rather, especially given a resolution that we passed out of here recently where in other states the Pentagon has gotten very creative about how they've been calling people up so that people don't get benefits. This is the ace in the hole. We would have to make sure that those folks aren't missing out. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
So, Dave, remind me, because 100 years ago, back when I was a young Army wife, the Oregon National Guard, we funded tuition reimbursement from the state to soldiers, sort of in this manner, maybe not the last dollar piece, but there were dollars there that the Oregon National Guard servicemen and women could tap into, and then that funding probably went away, in the early to mid-2000s, it was gone, and we've never restored those funds as a body.
Chair Evans, Representative Parrish, yes, ma'am, you're correct. At the high point, I think 03, 05, we had about $1 million that this legislative body provided for funding. At the very bottom of the dash one, you'll see the 399.275 reference. There's a program for student tuition assistance. And you are correct, ma'am. I think the last time the legislative body provided funding was the 05, 07 biennium.
Well, quick commentary, of course, is right. That's right when we started really ramping up and sending soldiers from Oregon to Iraq and Afghanistan. I remember, you know, where we were in my own house with those phone calls and getting people ready to go. And so at the same time we were ramping up, we were cutting these benefits as a state. So the restoration of this, or at least a partial restoration of this, I think is really an important to follow back on that commitment. And then to you as a question to our chair, so it is lottery dollars, but I'm not saying that this is out of the Measure 96. This is out of the economic development piece, and I do believe education is a you know, certainly a piece on the original, sort of a lottery expert, after all of what we've been through, that it is part of the original intent and purposes, that it covers education and economic development.
To the point, we're going to try to leverage what we can. Some of it may come out of lottery, but we start the conversation with it being where it's at.
Great. I'm all good with that.
Understanding it may eventually be taken out of lottery, but as we try to get to the $28 million, there are different ways we can count it, and it's toward education.
Okay.
Thank you. Questions?
No, I just had a suggestion, Mr. Chair. Since that part of this is focused on maybe recruiting, if there's no problem recruiting for the Air National Guard, maybe we should give preference to the Army.
Right.
National Guard.
Preach it.
That's just thought I'd bring that up.
That's hurtful. That kind of. Well, okay, not really hurtful.
Nobody ever speaks to the Merchant Marines.
No, they don't, do they?
No.
They don't even know the song.
Mr. Stuckey. She in here about the Coast Guard, too. You know,
Mr. Stuckey, I appreciate you being here. And again, for everybody that's listening, people that are taking notes, I asked Mr. Stuckey to be here. He did not volunteer. This is not anything other than a program that many of us have wanted to restore for many years.
Program.
And hopefully, we can do it in a way that makes both the state more ready, responsive for disasters, and take care of our veterans at the same time. So, any other questions or comments of Mr. Stuckey? Seeing none, Mr. Stuckey, you are excused. Thank you.
Look how fast he runs away from the guy.
Agile.
Mr. Connect is not here. Okay, I see nobody else wanting to speak to this. I'm going to close the public hearing.
Don't adjourn until we carry over the bills.
Yeah, I'm not adjourning. So, what we're going to do, just kind of throwing it out there, 2890, we're going to carry over because we need to get the fiscals. Oh. 2847, which is the last bill to be talked about today, 2847 is the House, is the ODVA mortgaging refinance piece. We have not yet gotten the amendments back. I want to give Legislative Council kudos. They got one amendment back faster than we anticipated. But we're going to carry those bills over every meeting until we no longer can, trying to give them time.
Get the time for the amendment.
But the other thing I want to make sure, so I have to do a motion to carry over, I just announced that we do.
Announced them, right?
I think you just
They were carrying them over.
Yeah, carried over. We're good to go.
Until Thursday.
Till Thursday. And then, again, we'll keep working through that. One thing I do want to bring to everybody's attention, because of the deadline coming up, we are trying to make sure that we get the bills that we have been coordinating with the Speaker's office on moved where they need to go. We want to make sure and get it right rather than fast. If we don't get 2847 back in time, I may ask for a movement to rules, if I can get the chair of rules to accept that given the unique circumstance. So I just want to emphasize, not trying to do any sucker punches here, no sneaky moves, trying to keep everybody informed. Okay, any questions on where we're headed? Mr. Volk, could you tell us about Thursday?
I'm sorry, and I just wanted to let you know I will not be here Thursday, so you know.
Thank you.
Let me take a quick look here.
While he's doing that, I want to say thank you all for getting the package forward. I'm hearing good things throughout the building. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Evans. We have a pretty full schedule on Thursday. We have House Concurrent Resolution 27. We've carried over 3427 and 3319. We have a work session on the following bills: 2233, 2690, 2895, and 2908. Those are bills that we had in committee earlier that we had not voted on in a work session.
Public hearing we've had. These are the ones that I'm hoping to send down as a package for basically the governor and for the Ways and Means to understand what our priorities are for the vets.
Okay. It's just work sessions on those.
Yep.
On four bills. Yep. Go pretty fast.
Yep. Any other questions?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you all very much. We are going to adjourn for the day, and I will see you bright and early Thursday, 3 p.m. What's wrong?
Bright and early at 3 p.m.
Bright and early at 3? Bright and early at 3? 3? Bright and early.